Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents Sarah Johnson Dobek, president and founder of Innovatus Consulting, and consultant Ty Hendrickson.
Welcome to our latest video in the Sales Fundamentals series. I'm Ty Hendrickson, CPA and consultant with Innovatus, here with our president and founder, Sarah Dobek. So we're going to jump a little bit more into the negotiation part of selling and really understanding how to win more business and get across the finish line a little bit quicker. So start out with a typical question here, Sarah. I'd love to get your thoughts on why people are so intimidated with negotiation and what is it that people should really be thinking about going into a negotiation?
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of reasons people are uncomfortable is because we don't like conflict. And negotiation implies conflict, right? Like, we don't agree with you, or we don't think you're worth that. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, we naturally as humans, as soon as somebody questions a price about something, we go there internally, like, am I worth it? Right? There's this like shame feeling or this conflict, or here we go again, another client that isn't going to value what we do. Right. And all of these voices start playing in our head. And so it triggers us. Right. And so one of the things that I think we have to do to get comfortable with negotiation is recognize that a lot of negotiation is because we have not fully communicated our value, or we've missed an opportunity to understand what is driving their decision. And a lot of things. And negotiation can actually be a lot easier than we think it is, but it requires really good listening and a lot of empathy to understand that. Sometimes it doesn't require you to change anything. It requires you to hear the other party's side and truly understand and make sure they've been heard and addressed for things. And we don't think that. We just think, oh, here we go. To negotiate, I have to drop my price. And that's not true.
I absolutely love that you started with that, because everyone hears negotiation, they think price objections, and they think the minute there's any type of pushback, oh God, I have to discount. But that's not the case. You know, people might push back because it's not the right time. People might push back because they have to get somebody else involved. People might push back because, you know, they've got to go through a budgeting process or they need more information. There's so many reasons that you get objections, which is part of negotiation, that don't involve price. And if it really does just come down to price, that's, like you said, you haven't presented the value in their mind that justifies the price. So when you're going through the sales process, what can you do leading up to this to prevent getting a price objection?
Well, one is you've got to have really good understanding of what their particular needs are. What is it that they really want? What's driving that decision? And understand that innately, because oftentimes negotiation comes up when we've missed that. I will honestly say too, there are some times where price is a factor, and not the factor that you haven't proven the value, it's that they don't see the value, yeah. Right? And that's a mindset issue. So you could explain it. You could do a really good job pitching your positioning and here's what makes us different. But at the end of the day, value is innate into the individual. And so some people see it and some people don't. And if they don't see it, that's sometimes not something that you can do anything about. But I would say 90% of the time that negotiation is within your control, right? If you've done a good job qualifying that prospect, if you've had a really good discovery conversation, you understand the needs. You know, you'll often see a lot of those things get reconciled in the negotiation process if you've done a good job in that discovery, or you won't get pushback. That's how you know you've done a really great job of hearing them out, is you won't get pushback. You won't get those other questions that are happening when you've done that.
Because they think they're getting a deal, right? You may think it's a lot of money, and they may think, gosh, for what all I'm getting, that's a steal. I still remember... Yeah. One of the first people that I ever coached in sales, he was selling software and had to tell someone that the price tag was going to be $25,000. He was so nervous. Like, and I'm sitting there on the call shadowing and I'm going, spit it out, say the price. They keep asking you what the price is. And you could tell he was just anxious about saying it. And he told them, and they go, oh, that's it? I thought it'd be more. And so he was so worried over nothing, but he'd done such a good job at understanding their needs and making sure that he mapped it to the value that it made a big difference. And I think one of the other things that hinders this value perception is understanding the difference between the value you offer and the services you provide. So what are your thoughts on differentiating value from the actual deliverable, the service you're doing?
I think it's tough because I think everybody has different points of value and what's important. And that's part of what you have to understand. I don't think you can separate it from the service, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of the value is created in how you service your clients. It's not just what you deliver to them. And that, I think that's where there's a big misperception in the profession is the value isn't the tax return.
Yep.
The value is the information in the tax return. The value is what we learn coming out of the audit. How we communicate that, how we engage with our clients, that is what creates some of the value that's being provided at the end of the day. Anybody can tick a box and check something and run a piece of software, but not everybody can synthesize and interpret and use that information to have a conversation. And at the end of the day, that is part of the level of service that you're delivering with whatever it is you're performing, compliance or non-compliance service. And that's partly how we create value. Some of it may be in how responsive you are to your client. If you're getting a client that has been burned really badly, you know, maybe that's important, or maybe you want a, you know, a firm that is anticipatory and proactive with you and thinking ahead of you or knows deeply the industry that you're serving and how can they bring that to you and use that information. There's lots of different things that we each use as value drivers. And so if we can understand those in any situation, that will help us articulate how we create that and talk about that.
You know, I saw, I actually pulled up my phone. I'm showing you guys this because I saw this this thing on social media the other day that says charge for your worth, not your time. And it was an invoice that someone sent and it said cutting one wire, $1, knowing which wire to cut, $999.
I love that.
You know, I mean, that's, I go back to that and I screenshotted that and I kept it because I love it. That's, they're not paying you, you know, $1,000 for the tax return. They're paying you minimal for the time spent, but it's for the knowledge behind that, right? And so I think that's that goes back to you being able to present your value because you believe in the value that you bring to the table, and then also helping them understand it's not cutting the wire, it's knowing which wire to cut that did not blow everybody up. So.
Correct. I love that example. I'm gonna have to remember that one. It's true. It takes years to be able to synthesize and do something, and so it might not take you a long time, but that doesn't mean that there weren't years or decades of training that went into something like that. And it's a hard conversation with firms to get out of that cycle. And I don't want to turn this into a value pricing seminar, but there is a reason that some firms today are charging ERC services right now as a percentage.
Yeah,
you're right. It doesn't take long, but the value to the client on the other end of that is immense. Right. In some cases, it does take longer, right? But the hours don't equate to the value being delivered. And as you do more of these, you become more efficient at them. But why should you lose money? Right. You should reap in that. That's good, right? We want to become more effective at what we're doing and still bringing value to clients. And so there's a big debate amongst firms. You sit on one side or the other related to that. But it's a conversation that we have a lot.
One last thing as we're talking about negotiation and we've talked a lot about price and objections, but what are some things that you should probably know going into a negotiation that will help prevent some of these struggles and conversations happening?
One is to know the people that you're dealing with enough to recognize when somebody just needs more time to make a decision. We all make decisions differently. We all take in information to inform that decision. And some of us, our decision is based on the relationship. Did we connect with the person in the room? And for some of us, we need a lot of factual information, right? Well, tell me about all the results that you had and how many clients are you serving in this area, right? You know, what are you doing and how many hours, right? Think of all the facts that we share in proposals. And then there's other people that are sort of in between there. And so if you can kind of learn how to quickly pick up on some cues that will give you some insights into those people, that will help you understand where to emphasize and spend your time, especially if you've got a bunch of people around the table that are influencing that decision.
Yeah. And to that point, if you have a bunch of people around the table, you need to know who all is involved in the decision. You need to know if someone's weighted more than somebody else. If you've got one or more people, you need to know what's involved in their decision-making process, what's important to each one of them, because you have to address all of those things. So, you know, it comes with being a little forward and a little direct, but ask, you know, who's involved in making this decision? What do they need to know? When are you going to want to make this decision? You know, you can always ask, when do you want to have it done and back into it? Is there a budget? You know, a lot of people are scared of these questions, but after you lose a couple of deals because you didn't know that Joe was actually, you know, the most weighted person and he sat quietly in the corner of the room and you didn't address any of his needs, then, you know, you'll start to ask those questions and find out what's important to everybody that's involved and what's going to go into them making the decision.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. We are afraid to ask. And I remind people all the time, the worst thing they could say is, no, we're not going to share that information with you. And then you move on.
Yeah. It's as simple as that. Well, hopefully we've given you some ideas on how to win some more business and things to think about as you go into negotiations. Join us on our next video on how to become a thought leader. And then we're really getting to that rainmaker level and what it means to be out there and serve a specialty. So join us for that in the next video.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.